As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Late night, midnight on the interstate, and I didn't feel so great.
Well, welcome back to Straight from the Source. Michael Russo coming to you from the office that Billy Guerin built. I've been here one other time with you, Billy, but never on a day like today. It has to be an exciting day for you. You're in the third year of the Minnesota Wild. You're leading the conference, and today you were named USA Hockey GM for the Olympics. You're a three-time Olympian as a player, but to now put on the shirt and tie and put on the, I guess, the red, white, and blue tie. I don't know if Kara's picked out any for you yet, but it's got to be exciting.
Yeah, it's very exciting. I mean, you know, it's just a huge honor, you know, to have played in three and now to be involved on kind of the other side of the desk is, you know, something I'm really proud of. You know, I've had a lot of support along the way and, you know, it's been an unusual circumstance in how we got here, but it's, you know, from my family to USA Hockey to all the other American GMs. You know, I've had so much support and, you know, my buddies back home have been just, you know, super supportive, like just a lot of people, my family, like I already mentioned my family, but they've just been behind me every step of the way. And yeah, it's just, today's a good day. Very happy.
No doubt about it. Olympics are pretty much 2 months from last week. I assume that even though you weren't the GM, that you've basically been the acting GM, I've got to think that the last 2 months since Stan Bowman stepped down, that you and the rest of the GMs on the advisory board have been meeting constantly to try to put this roster together.
Yeah, there's been a lot of back and forth. You know, it's been a bit of a whirlwind, but, you know, everybody's kind of come together. Chris Drury coming on board has been a big help. You know, and Don Waddell and David Poyle have been extremely supportive and just good guys for me to lean on. And yeah, it's been quite the process. It was really unfortunate. You know, with Stan, he's a good friend and a good person. I just I feel bad for him, but. You know, we have to move on. We have a job to do.
Right. And you talked today that, you know, Chris Drury really well. You were in the 2006 Olympics with him in Torino.
Yeah.
And he speaks your language from New England.
Yes.
Went to rival colleges though.
Yeah.
But you joked that you were roommates in the 2006 Olympics longest pregame match.
It was
ever.
Incredible. It was so funny. Our game didn't start till like 9:30 at night. And it was, I think it might've been the first game of the tournament for us. So we were still a bit jet lagged and we went through our regular, you know, game day routine. And we went back to take our nap, but it was like 7 hours to the game. And we ended up taking a 5 hour pregame nap. It was incredible, but, yeah, it was funny. He's such a great guy. And you know what, too, I love, he's a winner.
Yeah.
You know, he always has been. And
everything he does.
Yeah. He's a, for all the success he's had, he's just an extremely humble guy. And, He's a good friend.
Yep, Little League World Series star, as a lot of people
remember. I watched that in Lake Placid. I think it was like World Junior tryouts, but I was with his brother.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all gathered around this TV in this motel that we were staying at, and we watched that, and it was pretty hilarious. Yeah.
I've been doing this job so long that I actually wrote an essay for kids book once called The Rising Stars, like the 10 best young players in hockey or coming up in hockey, and he was in that book. So,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that's pretty
neat.
That's
really cool.
He was actually, there were like 10 players, and I did five, and Mike Brehm from USA Today did five, and he was one of the five that I did. Yeah, I did like him, Eliash, Milan Hayduk, Joe Thornton, and I cannot remember the fifth I did. I think Jeff Friesen. Of all, you know, and then guys like Korea in there and people like that, Chris Pronger.
Right.
So that was a little after you started. So that's why that's the only reason why you weren't in there, Billy.
Thanks.
I just wanted to make that very clear. What are some of you've been in three Olympics. You won the silver in 2002 in Salt Lake City against Canada. What are some of your best Olympic memories as a player?
Well, Salt Lake was great. I mean, they're all great. They really are. It's just being able to play in your home country. That was really special. You know, before the gold medal game against Canada, you know, we're sitting there getting ready for warmups and you can already hear the USA chants, things like that. And I always thought like just being in the village, being in the dining hall and all the athletes from, you know, from all over the world and just kind of coming together. And it was it's just really cool. And it's I always say it's kind of like what sports is all about, because there are some athletes that they know they're not going to win a medal, but they train just as hard as everybody else. They go to compete and they go to be Olympians and they know how special it is. And I just think that's really great. Like I just think it's an awesome event. And I've been so fortunate to be in as many as I have been.
Yeah. 98 had to be fun too, because it's the first one, right? That NHLers.
Yeah, it was crazy. And, you know, I was the last cut for the 92 team.
Mm-hmm.
And that one kind of, you know, that stung. And so I didn't think my time would ever come. And when the NHL players were allowed to go and we won the World Cup in 96 and Ron Wilson said, we're all going. I was just through the roof excited that I was finally going to get my chance to be an Olympian.
Right.
And, you know, it was just, it's just great. It's such a special experience.
The, you know, the cool part, like, you know, I've covered Olympics too. And the cool part is that they're on those days off. You get the freedom. You get to go see Vancouver. You get to go hang out in a coffee shop in Italy.
Yeah.
Even if you're in the Olympic Village, if you're in as a beat writer, this one's going to be very, very different. You're going to be walled off. You're going to have GPS trackers on you. I mean, this is going to be, you are in a true bubble in this one, probably even more strict than you were in Edmonton during the playoffs.
It definitely seems like that. And it's probably necessary just to get it off the ground.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of questions right now and, you know, questions that I honestly don't have answers for.
Right.
A lot of people don't, but we're trying to figure it out, but it won't take away from it. I mean, of course we'd love our families there. We'd love our fans there, everything, but this is the craziest world right now. So, you know, if and when we go, it'll be great and we'll make the most of it.
Well, I'm staring at the St. Paul Hotel outside your window right now and I'm watching the Carolina Hurricanes buses leave. So that shows you that they just took off. But I mean, that just shows you how crazy this world is. You know, we go to the morning skate today. The Canes got on the ice for a morning skate today and an hour later they find out they had now a total of six players testing positive for COVID. So it just, you know, when stuff like that happens, you know, it does it give you concern that you're even going to be able to live this dream, that the players are going to, and the NHL are going to still pull this off?
Yeah, I'm concerned. I mean, I want to go.
Yeah.
I really want to go, but we've got to do what's best for the safety of our people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the players are going to have a big say in that. And, you know, we're going to do what we have to do, but we'll, you know, there's still time.
Yeah.
So, there are a lot of questions to be answered. So, we'll just, I don't want to jump to any conclusions or just, you know, just we'll see how it goes in the next couple of weeks.
The 3 to 5 week quarantine is probably got to be the biggest concern, right? I mean, can you imagine if you're over there and
you think,
hey, Billy, Kirill Kaprizov and Jonas Brodin just tested positive for COVID. You're going to be playing the month of March without, and they're going to be in Beijing in some quarantine camp. Yeah. That's got to be the scariest part,
probably. It really is. Yeah. And I just the well-being of everybody, not necessarily just not having, for us not having a player or anything. No, it's the human aspect of it and how, what that would do to somebody. And, you know, you just want to make sure everybody's okay.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Wanted to ask you about this awesome roster. I mean, you talked about it today. I know you're in it to win it. You've told me the first day that I ever sat down with you at the St. Paul Hotel that your job here is to, I got to interrupt the podcast and ask about the mug that you're pouring that in. It's on the bottom. Is that like Liam Guerin's like childhood mug?
Yeah.
It's like, it's like scribbled by Liam Guerin on the bottom of that ceramic mug.
It's red, white, and blue.
When did he make that?
I think it was like fifth grade or something. He painted it for me and just gave it to me.
So Billy just poured a bottle of water into a coffee mug, and on the bottom, as he lifted the mug, it's written like a kid. It's in script Liam Guerin there, so it's pretty funny.
Yeah, his handwriting hasn't gotten much better, but he's a heck. He gave me this a long time
ago. That's so cool.
And here you are.
It's the Olympic GM. So at the St. Paul Hotel, when I first sat down with you and Liam and your daughters and your wife at day after you got the job. You said that my job here is to win a Stanley Cup for Craig Leopold and the fans of Minnesota. So I know that you are in this to win a gold medal. You're not going there to get the bronze, the silver, fourth, fifth. You talked about it today. I mean, this is a rising group of very talented American players, and you're in it to win it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's why we go.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the player pool in the United States, too, it just keeps getting better.
Yeah.
It keeps getting deeper and deeper. And I just think USA Hockey's done a tremendous job over the past, you know, 20 years of really kind of rebooting things and just developing players, like making the sport popular, making it accessible to so many more people. So we get those players. You see players coming from everywhere now. We didn't have anybody from California. I mean, look at Austin. Like, he's from Arizona.
Yeah.
Like, nobody came from Arizona.
Yeah.
And now we have one of the best players in the world.
Yeah.
You know, one of the best American players ever. He's from Arizona. Like, it's great. You know, we've, you know, Brandon Duhaime is from Florida.
Right.
You know, like, it's guys come from everywhere. So I think it's just fantastic.
Do you, the goaltending is the biggest thing that intrigues me for this team. Like, you have Thatcher Demko, you have John Gibson, you have Connor Hellebuck, and you have Jack Campbell.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have Beezer, sort of the head honcho for USA Hockey. You got Ryan Miller on board helping out, too. So you got a couple really good goalies, too, that have, you know, really
goalies,
smart.
Goalies, no goalies.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It's, so, we, well, I mean, it will essentially be them making the decision, or how will that work?
No.
Yeah.
But it will be, I will be leaning on those guys heavily for that decision because it's a unique position.
Yeah.
And they're on the staff for a reason. It's to help make that decision.
Yeah. And then up front, same thing. I mean, there's going to be great players that don't make this team, Bill.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're lucky to have that problem now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you wish everybody could come. But like I said earlier, we have to build the best team we can.
Yeah.
Not just the best group of players. Like, it's, you have to build a team.
Do you feel like, we just talked about goaltending, but your defense too, that's the strength of the Americans. Like, when I was writing the list of defensemen that could make this team, it is elite.
Yeah. It's really good.
Yeah.
I mean, as good as there's been for the United States. You know, good young players, like kind of in that sweet spot, that 25, 26, 27-year-old guy. You know, then a couple older guys are real good. And, you know, we've got a good mix of youth and experience and talent and grit. And, you know, I think we're going to have a really good team.
Right. Do you, like, what is next? Like, so assuming that everything's a go, like, when do you meet next as a staff? Is it constant virtual meetings or do you meet together?
It's constant virtual meetings. Yeah. It's, I mean, everybody's got everything going on too with their own, with their own team. I mean, Beezer's got three teams going on with the World Juniors, with the women's team, with our team. So, his plate's full. You can't just be traveling around and meeting all the time face to face. So we're doing a lot of, virtual stuff.
Right. As far as I know that all Wild fans wanted to ask about Ryan Hartman. He wasn't originally on the long list. Can you say if he's been added?
I'm not commenting on any players. I just, it's not fair to anybody. So I'm not commenting.
Okay. Just that Patrick Kane made the team. We know that. So he's still on there.
I'm not commenting on any players.
I wanted to ask you about, I'm trying to think where to go here. If we should start talking about the Wild right now. This team has been really, really good this year. Is it fair to say that they've even surprised you? Like, I know that you always are in it to win it, but I got to think at this stage that you did not think that at one point last week, you were leading the league in points that everything's gone so well right now.
Yeah, it's gone really well. It's still early in the season. We have to keep our foot on the gas. We can't get ahead of ourselves, or we have to stay humble and continue to perform at the level that we're doing it. And, because this is a pretty good league, and there are some other teams that don't care what we're doing and they want to beat us every night, just like we want to beat them. So if we're not at our best, if we're not on our toes, if we start getting too full of ourselves, we're going to hurt ourselves. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'd like to manage. And, I know Dean's on the same page as that. We don't have anything yet.
Right.
Not saying that I'm extremely proud of this group of guys. Right. I really am for what they're doing and how they're playing, the way they show up every night. But we just have to continue on. And I know they are. It's more businesslike than it ever has been here. And, in my time here, and that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. You don't get too high and you don't get too low. It's just a matter of taking care of business.
You know, the first thing that I thought of when the game today was canceled, is that Jonas Brodin gets two extra days to rest, because I assume that he's not 100% and was going to play tonight. Is it a coincidence that you guys dropped two games in a row without Jonas Brodin? I mean, he just seems like, I almost feel like he's your most important player right now. I mean, we saw it in game seven, how that game changed when he got hurt. And it just seems like he is really, coming to his own as the top guy on this team.
He's a big, big piece, but you know what? They're all important. Mm-hmm. Everybody's important. Brodes is really, he's an elite defenseman in this league. Mm-hmm. He's an elite defenseman. And, he doesn't push on the offensive side of the puck as a lot of other guys. I think he's got the ability to, but he's so responsible defensively. But defensively, I don't think there's a better guy in this league than him.
Yeah.
You can put any other top defenseman in this league and Rhodes is as good as or better than him defensively.
Right. You could see those recent games against Austin Matthews and Connor McDavid. They liked being on the ice when Brodin wasn't out there.
Yeah. You know what? He's got that kind of Lidstrom quality to him where he doesn't kill you with a body check. He doesn't do anything to like physically like harm you or anything like that. But after the game, you're confused on why that was so difficult.
Right.
And that was the same thing playing against Nick. Like he never laid a hand on you, but you couldn't get by him. You couldn't dump a puck past him. You couldn't get a hit on him. And he just broke out. Like anytime you'd get to a puck at the same time, he'd be a little quicker than you. And Brodes has some of those elements to his game.
They had a rule in Joe Louis Arena, the people that would pick the three stars, and unless Nick Lidstrom really had a truly elite offensive night, he wasn't named one of the three stars because he'd be number one every night.
Right, right. And you got to spread it around a little bit. Yeah.
What is a day like today like for you, Billy? Like, I know that you're not directly involved with, obviously, the Carolina Hurricanes, but when do you first find out, like, oh, boy, we're not going to have a game tonight?
Chris Orne came into my office, I don't know, around 1 o'clock, maybe 12:30, and just told me that they had some positives and that six guys, and we're like, oh, trying to do the math. And then I spoke to Donnie Waddell and then spoke to Bill Daly, and they kind of,
yeah.
Don was pretty honest with he was real honest with me, saying that he didn't think there was a good chance that we were going to play because of all this, and they were still waiting on some other tests. So we had a feeling it was going to happen.
Yeah. The other thing I heard from the league is that, it's very clear there's starting to be cross-team contamination. That was clear last year. We just saw – I don't think it's a coincidence that Carolina, Calgary, and Vancouver that all play each other now have positives. Mm-hmm. I hear the league is really concerned also about making sure you guys stay healthy because of the Winter Classic coming up. So I think that was another thing, is that they did not really want this game to happen and have you guys play against guys that maybe aren't positive yet but could be positive tomorrow.
Right,
So, I mean, it's just really – it really is unbelievable. You had to deal with this last year. You know, how much do you feel for these GMs? Because it obviously could happen to you guys again too.
It's brutal.
Yeah.
It's brutal. It's – you know, I guess it's, you just got to take it in stride, because this is the world that we're living in right now, and you can't get too upset about it because you can't really control it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I think our league has done it, you know, has dealt with this as well as any.
Mm-hmm.
And, you got to kind of roll with the punches.
Yeah. If you don't mind, I'm going to throw you a bunch of Twitter questions from fans.
Sure.
But let's do this. Let's take one quick break from one of our sponsors.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Back here straight from the source, Michael Russo, Billy Guerin coming to you from his office here. Fan had a great question. You've won a silver medal. You've won a World Cup of Hockey. You've won 4 Stanley Cups, 2 as a player, 2 as an executive. Where would winning a gold as GM be on the list of achievements? More, better,
It's tough to...
Yeah.
It would be right in line with the rest of them.
Good answer. Nice. Last week... I reported that you were over at BC, actually, I think at Brown, to watch
Jack. Oh, it was at BC.
Yeah, okay, it was at BC.
At BC, okay. Versus Brown, yeah.
To watch, obviously the game, but you saw McBain, Nestoranko, and Marshall Warren. He wanted to know your thoughts on just all three and the game itself.
Yeah, the game was okay.
Not a great game.
But yeah, BC won, which was great.
Full disclosure, Billy went to BC.
I love going back there. It's amazing how much it's changed over the years. But man, I actually can't believe I went there. It's just such a beautiful school, and I love it there. And but the three guys, they looked great. Jack's a big, he's a big body moving around out there, and he can skate. Nikita's a guy. I knew him when he was 10 years old.
How'd you know him at 10?
He's a Long Island kid.
Okay.
So he was playing trying out for the Long Island Royals and, you know, all that stuff. He was a skilled little kid back then, and now he's a skilled, tall, skinny kid. And then Marshall Warren, same thing, another Long Island kid that I knew. He played with my son back on the Long Island Gulls, and they all look really good.
Yeah,
it's nice to see.
That's really cool. I've been to BU's campus because the Wild have practiced there, and I've been to Harvard because the Wild and the Panthers have practiced there. I've never been to BC. I mean, I envision there's Bill Guerin statues everywhere and pictures.
You're saving
everywhere.
The best for last. You're saving the best.
When you walk in there, are there pictures of all the alum and
It's
just
yeah. It's yeah, pretty neat. They they do a nice job there.
How big of a source of pride is that? Like, I remember when we used to go up to Duluth for training camp, and I watched guys like Bob Mason and Tom Curvers looking at their pictures, and you could just see that grin, that them thinking back to the old days. I mean, how much same for you?
Yeah, I take a ton of pride in it. Yeah. I love being a Boston College Eagle, and you know, so many great athletes and so many great people like have you know, gone to that school, and it's just amazing how much it's grown, and like it's impossible to get into now, and it's just such a it's a great spot.
Yeah,
I'm proud.
Cool. I've seen the campus, I haven't seen the building, so yeah. That's pretty awesome. I'll just go in questions. I wrote them down as I saw them, so they are going to be a little out of order. One question about Rossi: how's he doing in Iowa, and what is the plan for him the rest of the way? Is it just like all your other minor leaguers, or does the contract situation maybe rule the roost, the 9-game rule?
No, he's just like everybody else. Mm-hmm. We won't worry about that 9-game rule or anything like that. It's, you know, he got injured once, he got sick once, so he's missed a little bit of hockey the last couple of weeks. And you know what, Marco, he's doing great. Mm-hmm. The most important thing right now is his play.
Yep.
Play. Just play big minutes, big situations, all that stuff, and he's doing great.
Yeah. Boldy, I got a lot of questions on him. Another guy that's had tough luck this year. It felt like he was getting real close to making his NHL debut, and then he gets hurt again. How's he doing, and how disappointed are you for just the poor luck?
He's doing well, yeah. It's just bad luck. You know, it's nothing more than that. It, mm-hmm. It's just an unfortunate, you know, injury that he got, and – you know, he'll be back, and there's time. There are a lot of games left, and he'll be okay. And we're very happy with his progress.
Can you say if this is long term or short term? Or
it's not as long as his other one.
Okay, that's good. And the other one, if I remember, was like 6 weeks. Next one on the list, power play. You know, it's funny. It's like the power play scored 6 games in a row, but I'm sure the other night as you're watching that game, you're just beating your head like, you know, score. Yeah. Like that, like you score the other night in Vegas, but it probably, if you looked at the game, the power play probably cost you the game.
Yeah, if you want, yeah, you could look at it like that for sure.
Yeah.
But you know what? The power plays also come through for us. Mm-hmm.
Especially on the road this year.
Yeah, yeah. So the way, instead of getting upset, you have to take a step back and just, you know, yeah, go back 6 games. It's produced for us. It's been better. Did we want it to score then? Yeah, of course we did. But you know what? It's not like the guys are saying, hey, let's screw around and not try to score. They were trying. And that happens to everybody. Mm-hmm. Not everybody scores in every single 5-on-3 or every single power play. Or, like, it just – that happens. And you know, we knew we were going to lose some games. You know, yeah, it could have been better, but it wasn't.
Right. I know I'm jumping around like non sequiturs here, but I remember shooting the
break. That's my brain.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it doesn't make much sense.
Yeah. No, well, no, I'm just saying, yeah, it's like I do the same thing. It's probably the way I write. I write like I barely cough and I'm 1,000 words in and I haven't said anything yet. So it's sort of the way I talk. But as you were talking there, I just had this reaction, and not to bring inside too much of like stuff I probably shouldn't talk about, but I had a great conversation with you and Ray Shiro in Denver earlier this season. I just loved you guys talking about when Ray traded for you from Long Island. Can you kind of give the, like, a little, from your perspective, you thought you were going somewhere else, if I remember correctly, right? And can you kind of talk about that and just like, what is that like? Because I've always heard it from you, and then to hear Ray Shiro like talk about how he made that trade for you, which at some point I got to get Shiro here on the podcast to tell that story.
And I think everybody else was against it.
Yeah.
And Ray said, you know, screw you guys, I'm going to do it.
Right.
Thank God. But I was going to another team. I got pulled off the ice.
What was the team? Was it
Philly?
Philly, right.
Yeah. And they needed time to clear cap space, but eventually couldn't do it. So I missed a couple games.
That's right. You were pulled out of the lineup for a couple games.
Yeah, it was 5 days before the deadline. And then the Rangers came into play and that didn't work either. But then that was like trade deadline day. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to, you know, I've missed 5 days. I missed 2 games. Am I going to have to go back? Mm-hmm. Like, And then literally 15 minutes before the deadline, Garth Snow called me and he's like, because I had to lift my no trade.
Yeah.
And he's like, how about Pittsburgh? And I said, yeah. I was like, what? Yes. Not even really thinking. So he goes, all right, I'm going to get it done. And he got it done. And I hung up with him and I didn't even think, but like it took a couple minutes. I was talking, Kara was right next to me and I said, you know what? This team's good. I said, there's a good chance that I might play with like either that Crosby kid or that Malkin guy. I said, this could end up pretty good. And, it was just kind of a shock just because everything had gone on. Like, the other two teams were driving distance. Yeah. So I'd be able to see my family more often, but this threw a wrinkle into it, but it was just the best thing. It was unbelievable. From day one. And yeah, Ray pulled the trigger when all those guys that I worked with after I finished playing, they had to erase all my RinkNet reports because all my buddies were carving me. And so
that is hilarious.
Dan McKinnon most specifically, and if he's listening, he knows that.
That's hysterical. It is really interesting. I heard you on doing a radio interview with Barrero a couple of days ago. I was in Vegas and I was listening to it on iHeartRadio app and you had a really interesting thing to say about close teams. What's that?
Was that a plug?
Yeah. It was a plug for a K-Fan. Yeah, that's what keeps me getting the checks from them. So but you had a really interesting thing, and what you said really reminded me of a YouTube video that I've seen of you. You talked about close teams and how a lot of people think that close teams are teams that are like, oh, they go to get beers together after the game. And you're like, no, a close team is a team that in the locker room is accountable to each other, will say things, the hard things to each other, things like that. And I was thinking of this experience that during that 2009 run, it was either 09 or 10, whatever the YouTube video is, of you giving it to Crosby on the bench. And I don't think a lot of people would have, and I don't know how you were mic'd up or what, but it shows that you were basically telling him, like, no, this is the way it needs to be done. And I could be getting the context completely wrong of what was being said, but not a lot of people have the guts to go and actually tell Crosby what to do. And I think that's probably what you mean there too, is that from a leader has that ability to do that stuff.
Yeah. And I was so lucky because when I came into the league, I was surrounded by guys like that. Mm-hmm. I was surrounded by Scott Stevens and Kenny Danico and Bruce Driver, John McClain, like Claude Lemieux, they would tell each other the hard things like, hey, we have to do this. You know what? We have to be better at this. And you held each other accountable. And it wasn't always easy, but we were a really close team. And like, yeah, we like to drink beer together and do all that stuff. But you know what? When it came down to game time, it was like, hey, let's get the job done here, guys. And you know, I don't remember that video at all. If you ever find it, show me. But
it might have even been something I saw on NHL Network.
Yeah, maybe. But that Pittsburgh team was the same way. And you know, and hey, trust me, Sid gave it to me too. Like it was a two-way street there, and we have a lot of laughs about it now. But you know, like I'd tell him something. He'd tell me to move my feet. I'd tell him this. He'd tell me that. And there was a lot of back and forth. But that's when you know you're really close. Like the teams that say, oh, yeah, we're close. We have all these parties and barbecues and this and that. That's all, like I said, that's all fluff. Like that's good and great. And I think there is a place for that and a need for that for the guys. But when you're really close, you're accountable to each other. You sacrifice for each other. It all shows on the ice.
Yeah. And I feel like that you have to, I said this to somebody the other day, and obviously winning helps creates close teams. Losing sometimes there's not a lot, you're not as close. So a lot of it is sort of, mm-hmm. Cyclical. But like Fiala was talking about it after the game in San Jose, he just blurted out how close his team was, and he did it in such a genuine way. And I've heard Foligno say it like that and things like that. It does feel like this, of all the teams I've covered in Minnesota, there's some sort of camaraderie in that room, probably based on your three leaders that you put letters on, that are helping kind of manifest that and create a really tight group.
Yeah, I give those three guys a lot of credit in building that and bringing everybody in. Mm-hmm. You know, I really think real leaders aren't, it's not all about them and their power. It's about bringing other people in and empowering them and giving people a voice. And, you know, I do. And I think about Kevin a lot with this because, you know what, he's played really well. He's played mm-hmm. really hard. He's struggled to score goals, which is just kind of his bread and butter. But these guys have always, it seems like they're there for him.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't, don't worry about it, Kev. Like, and I really believe that. And I think that's a great sign, and I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah.
Like he's, you know, and he's needed those guys.
Well, that was the context.
It helps him get through, you know, a tough time like that.
That was the context. It was after his big goal in San Jose, and we asked him about that, and he said, I think the question was something like, you know, what kept you going when you're hitting 50 posts a game?
Yeah.
And he said, because we're winning.
Right.
And he goes, that's what kept me motivated. And it was so genuine. It wasn't just Kevin saying it, because that's a good soundbite. It was honestly totally genuine. And that was the context. Yeah. So it's pretty impressive.
That's nice. That's good to hear.
Again, some more questions here. This is actually a good question because it made me think of Steve Yzerman in 2009 when Craig Leopold offered him the GM job and he turned it down because he wanted to concentrate on Team Canada and didn't feel like it was right to be the first year GM of the Wild, but the first year GM of the Team Canada. Yeah. This person asks, what are your responsibilities and how will you stop that distraction between the Wild and Team USA? I assume the fact that you're a third year GM makes it probably a little easier than maybe what Yzerman was feeling.
Yeah. And you know, listen, I take care of all my responsibilities here first. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there's a second day involved and then it's not, you know, we don't have Zoom calls every day. But, you know, we've had enough and we've done a lot of work. But that's kind of on my own time.
Right.
You know, I have a responsibility here and I have to make sure that is, you know, and I have a ton of help here.
Right.
Like, you know, the guys in the hockey ops office are just amazing here mm-hmm. and they take so much off my plate.
Yeah.
So. It frees me up.
When I walked in here, I was looking around to see if you had a team of mathematicians trying to figure out the cap the next 3 years, because when I look at it, I get overwhelmed, Billy, thinking like, how the heck are you going to afford all these guys on the last year deal next year with 16.5 million of cap space?
Well, so walk out of my office, take a left, and every single office that you run into, all those guys are smarter than I am. So you could talk to them. I mean, it goes Randy Sexton, then Mike Murray, then Matt Sells, and Chris O'Hearn. Matt, Mike, and Chris are all lawyers. Matt's the, well, I guess him and Chris are both the numbers guys. They're all cap stuff. And they are so critical to me. And like, I'm lucky to have these guys.
Where does Sickman rank on the intelligence level? Because he's got an office somewhere over
there. Yeah, but he's to the right.
All the people that don't.
Sicky can join those guys too. He can, for sure.
But in all honesty, everybody can't be back, right? I mean, you got like, I mean, let's, I mean, just off the top of my head, RFAs, you got Fiala, Greenway, Kakinen, and Pitlick. UFAs, you got
Goligoski,
Sturm, Ben, Merrill, you know, all those guys.
It's just the way it is. Like, there's no magic pill that's going to make this go away.
Right.
It's something that we're going to have to deal with and make some tough decisions. So
that
really sucks, but it's where we are.
And it is interesting. Like, you know, like, and even I'm guilty of it too. You know, I always, when I mention this, I mention the dead cap, but the reality is that the dead cap actually makes it easier. Like if Parisi and Suter were here, it would actually be less space. So, I mean, it's not like that. The dead cap stuff created this problem. This problem is going to be here no matter
what. You forget, we had to do something.
Yeah.
Because if we didn't, we wouldn't have been able to put a full team on the ice this year.
Right.
And then, you know, moving along, yeah, it you know, next year and the 2 years after creates very little space, but
yeah,
space that we needed. And, you know, it was just something we felt we had to do.
Right. No doubt. So when do you start, like, do you feel like Chuck Fletcher always had a line that I think he picked up from another GM that said, you know, why make a decision today when you can make it tomorrow? I mean, is that sort of the same way here? It's like, well, I don't need to worry about Fiala and Greenway and these guys yet. You know, let's try to win a cup this year and then deal with this another time. Is that fair or?
Yeah, that's fair. I think a little differently maybe that. I don't know. Yeah, no, it's true. It's very true because you don't want to upset this. You don't want to, but like I've always said too, if we can get better, we'll get better.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Greenway is the interesting one to me because that line is a line that can win you, you know, that line with Foligno and Eriksson Ek.
They're miserable to play
against. Yeah. Like that's a line that you'd love to keep together, I'm sure, for a long time, but I'm sure money again is going to be what's going to have to decide this.
Yeah.
With Greener.
I don't want to get into Jordan Greenway's, you know, contract or future here, but it sure is a nice line to have.
Yeah, no doubt. Ryan Hartman, why does that seem to work with Kaprizov and Zuccarello, but maybe Ek didn't? Or I don't know if maybe it wasn't that Ek didn't, but maybe it just Dean always had the grief line back in his pocket and decided to put it back together.
You know what? I think Kirill and Zuki have such great chemistry together, but they trust Ryan too. Mm-hmm. And they give him the puck and he gets it back to them. And I think for a short time there, we saw all they wanted to do was pass to each other.
Yeah.
You know, or it seemed like it, but they really have found a trust level and a chemistry with Ryan. Mm-hmm. And I think he supplies, you know, some of the things that they don't. And it's a good line. Yeah. It's a really good line.
It is funny, Billy, like there's always this cliche in hockey, like, you know, just have a third guy in the net that's going to create space for the skilled wingers by driving the net and takes defenders with them. Yeah. And Ryan is the prototypical person for that. Like we've seen so many plays where Kirill and Zuccarello are completely open suddenly because Ryan takes a couple guys to the
You can't have all the same type of guys on one line. You know, you need skill, but you also need the bull in a china shop and you need somebody to do some of the dirty work. And, you know, you look at some of the great lines over time and, you know, that you have a shooter, you have a passer, you have a grinder. You have to have that sort of mix.
Couple of fun questions, then I'll let you go on without your day. I'm sure you're getting pelted.
Nope.
I might be stopping a trade.
Nope.
Here's a great one from a fan, and the fans, I know that a lot of times when they ask questions, I'd love to hear their names on the podcast, but I just wrote these questions down, so I didn't bring my huge computer in here, so that's why you're not getting shout-outs, so I apologize.
No problem.
So what do you enjoy most about being an NHL GM, and what do you enjoy least? And if I'm part of the least, keep me out of it.
You're the least. No, you're not. You're not.
So Billy just met with a reporter and she was coming out and she was downstairs and this reporter I happen to know really well from my yesteryear life at the Strib. And she was telling me that she was talking about me. And I'm like, oh, I'm sure that went really well.
She was very complimentary to you. The best thing about being a GM is one, I really like being able to have an impact on the culture, to set the tone for our work environment and the way we do things here. The other thing is to, you know, when you're young and you play armchair quarterback or you're, you know, when I was a player, you know, you thought, hey, this would work, that would work. So I'm getting the opportunity to put my ideas in motion.
Mm-hmm.
The worst thing about being a GM, well, you know what, telling a player he's been traded or sent down or bought out,
mm-hmm.
or you're not going to be able to sign him. Those are cruddy messages to deliver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet.
Because you know what? Having played and having been all in all those situations, you know what it does to a guy and mm-hmm. you know how it hurts him and you know what it does to his life.
Yeah. Well, we've talked about it. I can't remember if it was just you and I shooting the breeze recently or
shooting the what?
Yeah. Shit. There you go. recently, or if it was on a podcast, but we talked about that time where you traded Edmonton and your wife, like, you know, she'd never been to Edmonton.
No, she'd never been to Edmonton. We had a newborn.
Yeah, that's
what
it was.
Pregnant.
Yeah. It might have been that when we were with Shiro. That's when I think we were discussing this.
Yeah. She's like, you know, she had no idea where it was and mm-hmm. why would she, you know, and you know, it was just, it's a shock.
Yeah. Here's a good question from a reader, or a listener. How do you unwind or de-stress as a GM?
You know what?
Because even just now I'm watching your phone. I mean, it's blowing up. You're never off. Yeah. It's a 24/7 job.
Yeah, it is. But you know what? There's, comes a point in time where, you know, I always leave my phone on because in case of emergencies, you know, mm-hmm. but I honestly, like for activities and stuff like that, I love playing golf. You know what? I really like hanging out with my wife and our kids. Mm-hmm. You know what? We go to see them as much as we can, whether, you know, cause they're all over the map now. Mm-hmm. But I love like when they're playing their sports and doing their thing, we like to be involved and, we got a house at the Jersey Shore and we love spending time down there and, you know, just doing stuff like that.
Were your daughters just in town? You got the pub pass or something?
Yeah. Well, Grace is living with us now cause she's taking a little time off before she goes to med school. But for Father's Day, they bought me a pub pass. There's a plug.
Yeah.
So
I didn't even know it existed.
It's unbelievable. So I think there's like 20, I think there's 21, 20, 24 places, you know, brew pubs or bars or, mm-hmm. And they're on there and you get, so I have two pub passes. They're like little passports and you get a stamp for every place that you go. So we're just, you know, over time, you just go and have dinner at a place and get a beer and one of them, you know, one free beer per pass and we've hit some really cool spots. There's some great spots around the Twin Cities and it's awesome. I honestly, it's a great gift for any husband or brother or wife or whatever. It's awesome.
That's awesome. Favorite arena you ever played in?
Well, like on the road.
Yep.
I guess on the road, the old Montreal Forum.
Okay.
Yeah.
You had a crazy experience there once, right? During the playoffs? Wasn't there a game where was it McLaren?
Kyle McLaren. Yeah. No, that was in the Bell Center.
That was in the Bell Center.
Yeah, that was that was crazy. We had fans chasing our bus and they were just, I mean, throwing bottles at the bus and this and that. That was nuts.
Yeah. That was when you were with the Bruins.
Right.
But
the old Montreal Forum mm-hmm. was really cool. My favorite though was being able to play in the old Boston Garden.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Yeah.
That to me was a dream come true. Yeah. I loved it.
Yeah. I've covered the league long enough. I've been in like 50 arenas, but I never got to be in the Boston Garden, never got to be in Chicago Stadium, never got to be in the Montreal Forum. I covered one game at the Maple Leaf Gardens.
Yeah,
Covered, you know, what was it, McNichol Arena
in Colorado?
Like stuff like that. Yeah. Covered a great game in season in Greensboro Coliseum. That was fun.
Oh, God. those old buildings, you know, it's just like the new buildings are fantastic, but when they're very similar, you know, all those buildings were so quirky and they're all just different in their own way. But you know what? I went to some great games, as a kid in the Boston Garden. I saw my first NHL game there. And then I saw the Oilers win the cup there in 1990. All these great experiences. And then a couple of years later, I was playing there. And that to me was special. Great. That was cool.
I swear we're wrapping up, but this is a really good. By the way, I still, to me, Nassau Coliseum. But I grew up. It's like Nassau Coliseum to me is what Boston Garden is probably to you. I don't know, as an Islanders captain, if you would agree. Like, did you think it was a pit?
I love the Coliseum. I tell you what, when you're on the ice playing in with that bowl, like when that place was filled. When that place was packed, that place was crazy.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. Yeah. And like the rink itself was great. Like that was a really good place to play. Yeah.
You probably witnessed the press box when you scratched those games before you were being traded. But that press box, even with the banners, it is so cool. Like to see those retired banners and all the Stanley Cup banners. Yeah. And, like, you know, a lot of times
I didn't go to those games.
Okay. stay away from the writers. Yeah. All of a sudden, who covered you? Alan Hahn? Or was Alan gone by then? Alan Hahn was the old Newsday writer, but that might have been pre you there. Now he's like a famous he's a famous like ESPN radio guy in New York.
I know who he is.
Conscious or unconscious that you're building a Minnesota Wild team that played like you is a question from a reader. It's funny, I brought this up the other day with you.
Yeah, I think kind of unconscious.
Right.
You know, and I some days I see it, some days I don't. I mean, because I probably
didn't see it the other day in LA.
I watched Kaprizov and Zuccarello and guys like that. I'm like, I couldn't do that.
Yeah.
That's not me.
Yeah.
And Brodin and like all these guys. They're just, I'm happy with our compete.
Right.
I mean, I like to think that I worked hard as a player. I like it that our group works really hard.
Yeah. I feel like you were Marcus Foligno with a lot more skill. I mean, you know, like you were an aggressive guy. Drop the gloves.
I might have had more skill. He's a little tougher.
Yeah. No doubt about it. And yeah, a lot more goals for you. Here's some rapid fire fun ones. And then I do have two questions that, of course, we got to get back to hockey that I know you've been waiting for because I've asked you on every podcast for the last 10 years. funniest player either on the team or you played with?
Oh, man. I was just thinking about this the other day, too. God, Dougie Waite.
Yeah.
Really? Dougie's hilarious.
Yeah.
Dougie is a riot. Yeah. Like, he's honestly one of the funniest guys you could be around.
Yeah. Do you think, you just spurred my memory. Like, I talked about this on a podcast the other day or a radio show. Like, I grew up watching, I've covered this sport a long time, but, like, USA Hockey to me were you, Dougie Waite, Keith Tkachuk, JR, like, that was USA Hockey. There was, like, this personality to the team. Can this version of USA Hockey be the same thing, or is it impossible?
Yeah, no, they can. Okay. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, we had some. I mean, Brett Hall.
Like, exactly.
Personality. Yeah. Chris Chelios.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, Gary Suter and Tony Amonte, John LeClair, Mike Modano.
Yeah,
like all these guys. Brian Leach. Yeah. Like,
it really is amazing. You guys never got old.
It is.
Just 98, Richter and Van Beesbrook because you're goalies.
With some characters,
boy. Yeah. Here's a funny, weird one. Favorite board game? I know you like games. You play it all the time with your kids.
Yeah. Favorite board game? I'd have to say Monopoly.
Uh-huh. Have you seen the Wild's third jersey next year, and is it cool? That's a question from a reader.
I cannot answer that question.
Favorite pizza place, whether it's in the Twin Cities or wherever you're from?
Little Vincent's.
Nice.
Huntington, New York.
Yep. I'm from Plainview.
It's the best. Yep. What's his name from Barstool? Portnoy. He didn't give it high enough grades. I think he gave it like an 8. It is a 10 out of 10.
Speaking of which, you know the Spit and Chicklet guys are like begging you publicly to be on their podcast when they come to town for the Winter Classic. So
I know that.
Yeah. Your buddies with Bizanet. He could just text you. He doesn't need to go through me. You're buddies with him. I saw him when you guys were in Arizona. He came up to you. He went up to go visit you. Rask extension. When's it coming? That's from a reader. He's playing great.
He's playing really well. You know what? I've got no problem with Rasky. He when he gets in there, he does the job that we ask him to, and he doesn't cause any problems.
Yeah. As you know, I've been a long supporter. And let's see. Last two questions, and these ones you knew were coming. One, I feel that you are a center. Like I feel like this team really could be something special, but I think if you added one center, and because you have to go through like guys like Eichel and McKinnon eventually, that would be really appropriate for this type of team to really get you over the top. Do you feel the same way? I know the chemistry is a big thing, but you still are going to have to go through Vegas or Colorado to get to where you want to go.
Yeah, maybe we do.
Yeah.
And you know what? Everybody said the same thing last year, and they were right. And you know what? Those two teams are very good. But we're a good team too.
Mm-hmm.
And we're built differently. But, you know, there's different ways to do this.
Yep. Before I get to the last question that I wanted to ask you, World Juniors, you got to be super excited. I mean, Jack Purchase made it today. Two guys, could have been three for Canada if Damon Hunt doesn't get hurt.
Right.
You have Husnadinov, you have Novak, you have Wallstedt. This is going to be really fun for Wild fans to watch this tournament.
Yeah, it is. I would encourage everybody to tune in. It's going to be another great tournament. This is we've got a ton of great prospects. Judd Brackett's done and the whole crew has done an amazing job of drafting and getting these good young players. And now all the pressure's on Bomber and Hendy to develop them. And you know, away we go. Yeah.
By the way, I'm sure Judd right now is listening to this podcast, absolutely offended that you didn't mention his pizza place in Cape Cod as being one of the best pizza places.
I haven't been.
We'll have to go next month.
So
I said to him next month, because, you know, LaPanta and I like the high-end restaurants. So I'm like, hey, LaPanta.
He's got one of those too.
Yeah, so LaPanta and I are going to come out to the port in Cape Cod. And he goes to me, it's closed for the season. I'm like, what? So I guess we'll have to try the pizza place. Last question. I've mentioned it before. Dean is in the last year of his deal. The coaching staff, I believe, as a whole is in the last year of his deal. Where is all that? And do you feel like it's something that you'll have to address here in the short coming up here?
Yeah, we'll have to address it, but nobody's worried about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think you're more worried about it than any of us.
I like to get it done so I can have a good summer.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm already worried about all these players that I'm going to be having to worry about.
I don't know what and Dean and I both know it's on the docket, but I think after you play out the last year of your contract a couple times as a player, you just, I don't know, you don't worry about it as much. We'll get to it.
Yeah. By the way, Dean Evason's got to see a lot of himself in Ryan Hartman, right? I remember Dean as a player. He was a bit of a – he played on that edge.
Dean was miserable to play against.
He was on that edge. Like when I watched Ryan Hartman the other night kind of like get tangled with Nick Hague mm-hmm. and start like jabbing him on the ice, I'm like, that was Dean Evason.
Miserable guys to play against.
Yeah.
Dino was – and he was tough too, so you didn't want to get beat up by a little guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, hey, Billy, I really, really appreciate it, as always, for doing this. I think it's like you're the returning champ of the podcast. There's no doubt about
thanks.
It.
Thanks. So, I appreciate everybody listening.
And congratulations. You know, I know that this was something that I thought we were going to write about 2 months ago. And then to see you on that Zoom today, it was pretty cool to see you as the head honcho.
It was really cool. I'm really happy.
And hopefully everything goes and you guys wind up in Beijing.
Yeah, thanks. Yep.
Thanks, Billy. And here's a word from one of our sponsors.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
Which little birdie? Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Well, thanks again for Billy Guerin for joining Straight from the Source. Always a fun time doing this and from his awesome office overlooking Rice Park. We have tons of podcasts on our network. Trevor Zegras, Don't Tell John Tortorella, is of the Anaheim Ducks, is joining Craig Hustins and Sean Gentile this week on the Athletic Hockey Show, the Athletic Hockey Show Roundtable with Rob Pizzo, Sarah Sivian, and Jesse Granger. Thanks for listening to Straight from the Source. Please follow us on your favorite podcast platform and don't forget to leave a rating and review. Subscribe to the Athletic Audio Plus on Apple Podcasts to get all the bonus content from our entire network. This week, Ian Mendez and Down Goes Brown from the Athletic Hockey Show provide extended bonus content. Start with a 30-day free trial, then just 99 cents a month after that. And right now, get your annual subscription to The Athletic for just $3.99 a month when you visit theathletic.com/straightfromthesource. Taking next week off, but talk to you in a couple weeks. We have tons of podcasts coming up for the Winter Classic. Thanks, everybody.